So yesterday we talked a little bit about the idea of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. He said, at least in my view, Malchios is really the first amongst equals. The Rishitas Rabbi Akiva, it integrates with the Kedushas Ayom, Melech HaKol Aretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron. And not only that, we saw that there was a fundamental dispute between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva, like what exactly is the interaction between Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, and actually blowing the shofar, that they call the Tkios Dima'uma. And so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri seems to think it's like a separate din of reciting Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. And Rabbi Akiva has this incredible line where he says, right, Dim Eno Tokei Ala Malchios, Lama Humazkir. Like, well, what's the point of saying the Malchios if you're not going to blow the shofar? But it seems like the whole idea of reciting the Psuke Malchios is that, as the Gemara says, Bameh, B'shofar, to then elevate those Psuke Malchios. We suggested maybe that could also explain the machlokas between the Baal HaMor and the other Rishonim, right? Because the Baal HaMor is making the argument that there's a separate din of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. So it's the same Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros on Ma'ariv, right? Forget about blowing the shofar. You're not blowing the shofar during the nighttime. We'll talk about Shachris in a second, right? So that's his view. Maybe that aligns in some conceptual way with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. According to Rov Rishonim, we only see Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros during Musaf when we blow the shofar, so maybe that's tied into this idea that Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros really are inextricably linked to the Tkiyas shofar. Okay, so now we come to Mishnah Zayin, Perek Dalet. However, the thing Ateva biyantif shel Rosh Hashanah, very interesting expression, biyantif shel Rosh Hashanah, hasheni matkiya. So we wait until Musaf to blow the shofar. The Gemara explains this is for very fascinating reasons that normally we say it's reason makdim in the mitzvos. So, you might think that it would be better to do so during Shachris, but apparently because of the nature of shofar, so some of various persecutors that we had over the generations, so they thought this was like, you know, kol milchama b'machana, that we were signaling war, you know. And the truth is, you know, shofar is often used in that context, so there's Yericho or, Gidon, the blowing of the shofar, so maybe they knew their Tanakh, I don't know. But the point is they said that, you know, the Jews are going to war. But so if we didn't blow the shofar during Shacharis, and, you know, so you get their Psuke de Zimras longer, and Shacharis, and you're saying Piyutim also, and they're waiting for, like, when is this war going to start, you know, the gangsters. And then, somebody starts reading from the Torah, then the Haftorah. By the time the rabbi is giving his sermon, they're like, we've got to get out of here. You know, there's no war going on. This is a, you know, an interminable religious exercise. So we could blow the shofar safely by the end of the rabbi's sermon, Tkios to Miyushav. So in any event, that's really why it was delayed, for highly idiosyncratic reasons. B'shas ha'halal, arishon makir sahalo. So this is an interesting expression, b'shas ha'halal. What do we mean by that? So the truth of the matter is we don't actually say halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even though it's a yantif, right? So the Gemara Narachan asks the question, it meets all the criteria to recite halal. There's a threefold criterion in the Gemara Narachan Daf Yud Aleph, like when should you say the halal? So it has to be a moed, there has to be an Isser Malach, and there has to be a unique korban. So that's three for three. You know, it meets all of the criterion. So why aren't we, you know, saying halal? So the Gemara used the expression Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, Ve'atem Omrim Shira. It's like, you know, you're not taking this very seriously. If you're singing Shevach and Halel on a day where the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav. So the Rambam modifies the formulation slightly. He says, there Yimei, Yira, Tshuva, Ufachad. Very fascinating formulation. Vilo Yamim Shel Simcha Yisera. So the Rambam is really accomplishing a lot here. He's defining Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as Yimei Yira Tshuva Ufachad, the idea of tshuva, but no vidoy in Rosh Hashanah, which is really a very fascinating idea for a different time. We've spoken about it years past. And he says they're not days of Simcha Yisera. Like Simcha Yisera is the Mechayiv in Halal, which that's not an idle expression for the Rambam. There's no idle expression in the Rambam, but it's particularly consequential because the Rambam uses the expression of Simcha Yisera B'shilhei Hilchos Lula, the very end, and the Rambam is discussing Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Rambam uses that as a signature expression. He says, "Avol pishakol amalados mitzli smach b'hem, b'chag haisa sham b'mikdash simcha yisera." Right, that's the ultimate halal, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the way the Rambam describes it. So, simcha yisera is a very signature expression within this framework for the Rambam. So that's good to be aware of. Okay, so now the penultimate Mishnah in the Masechta, Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah. So you can't even violate a din derabanan for mitzvah daraisa, which seems a little bit strange. I'll explain in a second. Or if there's like, you know, a, a mound of rocks on top of it. You can't extract it. Lo'olin be'ilan, which is also only nesed rabbanan gzera mishum ktsira v'lo rochvin al gabe behemo. Same idea. V'lo shatan al pnei amayim. We haven't even seen anything deraisi yet. Ve'en chotchen osa ben medavar shum mishum shvos ben medavar shum mishum lo sase. So everybody's sitting here thinking this is like a little bit hard to believe. You know, you're going to pass up on a mitzvah deraisa of shofar because of an issa derabanan, and whatever happened to, even if it was an issa deraisa, whatever happened to the principle of ase do chalos ase. So that's an important question. So the truth of the matter is that yantif is not just a los ase of kom lecha savoda los ase, but it's also an ase as well of yelachem shabasam. So the rule of ase do chalos ase does not apply when it's los ase ve'ase. So this isn't just, you know, like algorithm, but the Ramban has a very beautiful explanation for this. The Ramban explains in his commentaries, Perish al Torah, that the principle of ase do chalos ase is sort of rooted in a certain halachic axiology. He says, mitzvah ase, the Rambam has actually a similar idea in other places in his Perish of Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, that a mitzvah ase stems from avas Hashem, and refraining from prohibitions is really an expression of yiras Hashem. And he says the greatest motivation to do something in this world is avas Hashem. That's why ase is do chalos ase. But if it's a los ase ve'ase, if observing yantif, right, means that we're not just expressing yiras Hashem by not doing melacha, but as the Ramban so beautifully, the Shitasa writes in his famous essay, Yelachem Shabbason, that yantif and Shabbos, for that matter, are not just about refraining from violations, but it's about creating a certain ambiance. Right, the Ramban is able to prove that those things that are only isurim midivrayhem actually compromise the mitzvah saseh on the deraisa level. That's the thrust of that essay of Yelachem Shabbason based on a mechilta. So in any event, here what you have is a mitzvah saseh deraisa of shofar versus an asay and a lo saseh. Even if that lo saseh is only derabanan, you could say chachamim asu chizek lidivrayhem, or you could say what I'm trying to argue, that it factors into the asay on a deraisa level. And that accounts for why, you know, we'll pass up shofar. Now, again, in practice, you probably wouldn't have to pass up shofar too much as long as you had a friendly Gentile to ask, because that becomes a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. So you could actually ask the non-Jew to go up in the tree, if he's willing, or to, you know, help uncover the rubble, or do whatever. But shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is the obvious application of that principle. You're allowed to clear out the shofar with some kind of a liquid, right? In case it gets we don't consider that to be tikkun mana. Interesting. So here there's a machlokes rishonim as well. Which kind of tinokos are we talking about? The expression tinokos sounds like younger children, but Rashi and Rambam Paskin, it's only ketanim shegiu l'chinuch, that we would only allow them, let's say, to practice blowing the shofar on Shabbos. Even when it comes to the mitzvah shofar, we don't do it on the Shabbos, k'zera d'rabba, but they could practice blowing the shofar on Shabbos because they're getting close to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of tkiya shofar. Maybe they could be a bal tokeya one day. So we'll allow them to do that. This is one of these collector's items where we'll say that the level of muktzah for a shofar on yantif can actually surpass level of muktzah on Shabbos. So it's actually Rosh Hashanah. You could have a very high level of muktzah, something called the muktzah machos mitzvah. So, whereas on Shabbos, you could have some flexibility here. Again, depending on which Rishon you're holding like, but Rashi and the Rambam explain, for Ketanim Shegiu L'Chinuch, they could be practicing on Shabbosos to get ready for Rosh Hashanah that year. V'amisasek, once we're talking about misasek, lo yatsa, v'ashomei amin amisasek, lo yatsa. So again, generally speaking, whatever one holds about mitzvos srichos or ain srichos kavana, the point of the matter is that by shofar, kavana is an absolute requirement. We dealt with that earlier in the Masechta. We talk about, you know, Moshe, yadav shel Moshe, osos melchama, shovros melchama, the nachash anechoshes, that by shofar, the kavana is absolutely of the essence. And again, here, I'm not talking about, you know, the Kabbalistic. People can have in mind whatever they want to have in mind, you know, about, you know, whatever the person believes that they're achieving. Well, here we're talking about kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, as the Pasuk says, Yelachem Shabbason Zichron Trua Mikra Kodesh or Yom Trua Yelachem. So we're talking about somebody who has kavana to discharge an obligation. It's in both directions. It's the mashmia, the one who's generating the sound, and it's the shomeya as well.